We need to focus on our Florida residents and to focus on, in this case, Florida homeowners, particularly our homesteaded homeowners.
People canceled reservations for a year or two. No one wanted to come near anywhere that could potentially have oil.
So we help with everything from employment to housing to veterans accessing their earned benefits.
From the fourth floor of the Capitol Rotunda, you're listening to WFSU Public Media's Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. The Florida AFL-CIO, representing over 1 million union members, retirees, and their families, committed to building a better future for all Floridians by promoting healthy communities, economic justice, and dignity in the workplace. Online at flaflcio.org. And from Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com.
This is Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan. Among today's Capitol action, well, here we are almost halfway through the 2025 Florida lawmaking session, and we already have a budget, actually two budgets, and more technically, two budgets that are pretty far apart. As the Florida House and Senate prepare to start negotiating that new state budget, their proposals right now are about $4.4 billion apart. That's just the big number, of course. As House and Senate committees approved the proposals today, lawmakers also faced myriad other differences, which included issues like state employee wages, tax cuts, and whether to back away from spending decisions made in recent years. House and Senate leaders say they're trying to curb spending in the 2025-2026 fiscal year, which will kick off in July. House Budget Chair Lawrence McClure, Republican of Dover, and Senate Appropriations Chair Ed Hooper, Republican of Clearwater, both likening the process to right-sizing. But the House's proposal totals just under $112.9 billion, while the Senate spending plan is about $117.3 billion. As a comparison, the budget lawmakers passed last year, before Governor Ron DeSantis issued vetoes and mid-year adjustments were made, totaled $117.4 billion. A proposal to reduce sales tax has passed its first House committee. Tristan Wood reports the move is at the center of a standoff between the state's top political power players over what form tax reduction should take.
The House proposal would reduce state sales tax from 6% to 5.25%. It would also reduce business rental tax and the tax on mobile home purchases. The legislation emerged as a committee bill, but it's being championed by Jacksonville Republican Representative Wyman Dugan.
We are clearly setting a course and a vision that is going to provide immediate, meaningful relief to every single Floridian that makes a purchase.
The reduction is a priority of House Speaker Daniel Perez. At its first committee stop, it garnered unanimous bipartisan support. Orlando Democratic Representative Anna Escamani says the policy is a step in the right direction because it will have more of a positive impact on the state's lower-income residents.
Florida has a very regressive tax structure, partly because we are so reliant on sales tax. And that's not a left or right concept. It's an economic term that basically means for our Floridians that make less, they pay more of their income to taxation, those that make more.
The main opponent of Perez's proposal is Governor Ron DeSantis. He has vocally opposed it, arguing it would provide more relief to vacationers. Instead, he wants lawmakers to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot in 2026 to eliminate property taxes.
The tax relief needs to be Florida first. We need to focus on our Florida residents and to focus on, in this case, Florida homeowners, particularly our homesteaded homeowners.
What proposal will win out in the legislature is uncertain. Senate President Benjamin Albritton wrote in a statement that both sides need to find a compromise for a policy to be passed. I'm Tristan Wood.
Measures to protect the Apalachicola River and Bay are moving in both chambers. Lawmakers from Florida's Big Bend delegation say the bills are a response to the outcry they heard when the State Department of Environmental Protection said it would issue a permit to drill for oil in the fragile basin. Margie Menzel reports.
Port St. Joe Republican Representative Jason Schoaf and Tallahassee Democratic Representative Allison Tant are the House sponsors of a bill that would ban drilling, exploration, or production of petroleum products within 10 miles of a national estuarine research reserve, such as the Apalachicola River Basin. Schoaf says he's in the natural gas business.
Owned and operated, been in the family for over 50 years. And so oil and natural gas is something that is very personal to me. But I also felt that put it on my plate and made it my responsibility to run this bill.
A Louisiana-based company, Clearwater Land and Mineral LLC, applied for the permit to drill, and a year ago, DEP announced that it planned to grant it. That set off protests from business owners, seafood workers, environmentalists, and school children. Schoaf took note.
We have a company that has come in, and I'm not blaming them. They believe there's oil there. So they went after permits to be able to explore.
But the protests over the permit roiled Schoaf's district, which had been devastated by the BP oil spill in 2010.
We had an oil spill. I'm sure all of you heard about it. Oil didn't even get into the bay, but it shut it down. It shut down our economy. It shut down every form of business. People canceled reservations for a year or two. No one wanted to come near anywhere that could potentially have oil.
Jeff Wren, the owner of Rattlesnake Cove Oyster Company in Apalachicola Bay, supports Schoaf and Tant's bill. He also teaches and mentors high school students from Franklin County.
I'm worried about the future of my business and possibly the future of these students that I teach. If there were any issues upriver, the public perception alone, like Representative Schoaf said, pretty much would decimate the seafood industry in Apalachicola region. And God forbid another Hurricane Michael. So drilling up there seems counterintuitive.
Eric Hamilton, Associate Director of the American Petroleum Institute, said he appreciated the bill's environmental concerns.
I just wanted to express our support for the environmental side of the bill. We're talking about very environmentally sensitive areas, and that's good.
However, Hamilton said, he's opposing the bill.
We do have issues with the setback, the 10-mile setback. It seems rather far to us. And there are definitely concerns about mineral rights.
Hamilton said he hoped to come to a compromise with Schoaf. Meanwhile, Tallahassee Republican Senator Corey Simon is the sponsor of a similar bill moving in the Senate. Sanford Republican Senator Jason Broder recently presented the bill for Simon. Broder said currently, DEP's regulatory division has to consider certain factors when granting a permit to drill.
None of them were what happens if there's a blowout and what could that do to natural resources. So this bill simply puts that factor in among the other factors regarding what DEP must consider when granting a permit to drill.
As to the Clearwater drilling permit, the question is still before an administrative law judge. I'm Margie Menzel.
Finally tonight, state military service organizations are doing their part to support Florida's veterans. Over a dozen groups came out to the Capitol building today for Veterans Appreciation Day. Adrian Andrews spoke with a few team members to find out what they're doing to help.
As Florida lawmakers prepare to tally up their proposed budgets for the year, state veteran support groups are advocating out on the third floor rotunda to make sure their funding requests are heard.
Money is very limited. We're having to cut off our applications the first week of the month to ensure that we can help as many veterans as needed.
Nick Cannon is the director of operations for the Wounded Veteran Relief Fund a veteran support group tasked with getting money out to eligible disabled vets throughout the state. He said Wednesday that he's in Tallahassee to ask for $250,000 to ensure the program can continue helping disabled vets catch up on outstanding bills and receive free dental treatment.
In a time where the VA, unfortunately, doesn't cover 85% of our veterans' needs through dental care, Wounded Veterans Relief Fund steps up and bridges that gap to make sure that our veterans are proud of their smile.
Cannon says the group's request has the support of lawmakers from both chambers. This comes as the state's Veterans Affairs Department looks to expand one of its veteran support programs called Pathway for Patriots. It was founded by First Lady Casey DeSantis in 2023. On Wednesday, Holly Bernardo introduced herself as the program's director.
I get to work with the best partners. These are all nonprofits, faith-based communities, and businesses that are supporting veterans. And so we help with everything from employment to housing to veterans accessing their earned benefits.
There are over 40 different veteran-related bills filed this session. Some are being taken up on the House and Senate floor. I'm Adrian Andrews.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Adrian Andrews, Gina Jordan, Regan McCarthy, Margie Menzel, and Tristan Wood. Shows are available Monday through Thursday by 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, wherever you get your podcasts. On many of these Florida public radio stations, you can tune in each Friday to catch the latest on all things happening at the Capitol. That show is also available in podcast form. Technical assistance comes from Evan Rossi, and I'm Tom Flanagan. This is Capitol Report, the podcast from WFSU Public Media.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. The Florida AFL-CIO, representing over 1 million union members, retirees, and their families, committed to building a better future for all Floridians by promoting healthy communities, economic justice, and dignity in the workplace. Online at flaflcio.org. And from Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com. Capitol Report is a production of WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee.